Let's begin now.
Welcome to After Hours, Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson, my old friend, producing the operation, Mr. K-State on Kansas Day. How appropriate.
Yeah, it's gross.
Did you see Brian Haney walk out, the voice of the Jayhawks?
He said he liked my shirt. I'm wearing a K-State shirt. He said he liked my shirt.
Did he say that?
He did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. I promise you he said that.
Well,
that's a cool shirt.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Did you talk to him for a while? Did you talk Big 12 season?
No, he looked busy, but he said, hey, I like your shirt. He said, cool shirt.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Tomorrow's K-State Day in Carrington Show on the drive, he and Rob.
I'll be tuned in all four hours.
I'll be honest with you. It's been a lot of fun. In Missouri 2 days ago, Kansas today. Jalen Daniels, what a great interview he had. Kansas State Day tomorrow. You fired up for the season yet?
I'm fired up, Jay. I'm fired up. It's definitely football season. Chiefs are reporting to camp. I'm in. I'm locked in.
What have you been doing lately? You've been going to the pool? You've been going to the lake? What's going on?
A couple weeks ago, we went on vacation. Went to Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan?
Cool. Yeah, that was fun.
Did you boat out there?
No, we didn't go boating.
Did you camp?
No, it was just me and my girlfriend. So we just went up there. It was Airbnb. Hung out.
Eating fish?
Good food. Went to the beach.
Eating fish?
Went hiking. No. I'm not like a hunter, not a fisher, not that sort of an outdoorsman.
I got you. What I see here recently, like did you celebrate 2 years or three or something like that?
Yeah, it's third year, yeah.
Third year?
Yeah.
And I meant to congratulate you. It was like last month, wasn't it, or a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
We get all those emails. Did you enjoy the All-Star game?
I didn't watch much of it. I caught most of the highlights. I watched almost all of the Home Run Derby, though, but not so much of the All-Star game.
Really? See, the last couple nights, we have a lot of fun with the Home Run Derby. Obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. kept us really interested in that. That was a ton of fun as that thing, you know, transpired. Finished the second, you know, he's got 20 home runs at the beginning. And you're like, is he going to make it or not? Then all of a sudden you start seeing the other guys. And that was kind of the high water mark. You're like, I think he's going to get to the next round. And, oh, he comes so close to getting that home run to win.
The last one, dude, especially the way that the announcers reacted, I really thought he hit it. I really thought he got it out of the park.
I did too. I thought it was completely going out. But, of course, the SEC media day is going on now. There's not a lot of sports. Remember last Sunday, and I know you're not a big racing fan. You like F1. I know you like Formula 1. You still watching that?
Sometimes, but it's always a blowout. It's not that exciting.
Well, Max was winning everything last year, but this year he's not winning everything.
Not everything.
It's not Max for stopping
everything. It's kind of like watching the Chiefs. You kind of know how it's going to end at the end of the season.
But Sunday was fun. You know, Royals, Red Sox, that was a good game, you know, down there to the end. We had some NASCAR, some golf. This weekend, starting actually... You know what? I'm doing Cody and Gold tomorrow, so I might as well get up early. I'm not going to get in here that early, but 4 a.m. the coverage starts on USA for the British Open. Hey, I love majors, man. I like watching golf.
You're telling me you're going to get off work here tonight at 9 and wake up at 4 to watch the start of the Open?
Yep. You know who the hell I am.
All right.
Of course I will.
Yeah, all right.
I don't sleep well anyway, so who cares? You know what I'm saying? I never sleep well, so I might as well get and watch the British Open. It's something to watch. Not watching reruns or like Flowbee commercials, infomercials, you know what I'm saying? Always keep the TV on throughout the night. But yeah, sports drought right now, tonight and tomorrow. Chiefs camp is going on. That is the key thing. The Royals tomorrow, 9 straight games at Kauffman Stadium. You kidding me?
Have you been watching the New York Giants Hard Knocks offseason little show that's going on?
Yeah, it's such a dysfunctional team.
It's fun to watch, though, watching the behind the scenes. We don't really see much of it's the first time they're doing the off-season version.
I think all Hard Knocks is good. I like the in-season one, too. I'm one of those people like that. I think it's better than the Receiver Show on Netflix, to be honest with you.
I haven't had a chance to check that out. I don't have a Netflix subscription currently.
It's nowhere near what the quarterback was.
Okay.
Nowhere near where that was. But it's always fun to watch these NFL films behind the series. I love the franchise for the Chiefs. I don't know if you ever watched that. That is Hard Knocks quality, exactly.
A couple weeks ago, I went on a deep dive just getting in the mood for football. I watched like 4 or 5 episodes in a row.
Did you?
Yeah, it's just because it was cool. I was like, watch the last one of the regular seasons and the lead up to the Super Bowl. It's just fun seeing them prepare. It's fun getting an inside look like that.
Remember 2 years ago, they were like, they had my pad day comment. It's pad day now. Well, the rookie showed up today in the quarterback's first practice today. But it was good seeing them out there. But it was fun. Last night for the All-Star game, as we put that to bed, as we start looking forward to, it's not really the second half of the season. They're kind of past that mark, 65 games left, but kept waiting. We kept waiting on the show list. All right, when are they putting the Royal in? When they put, we got four guys in there, and not one is in so far. It's like, man, where's Lugo at? Lugo was up to start this game, possibly. Matty Q, skip for the Royals, joins Fesco in the morning each and every Wednesday. And today, joined on Josh Klingler's last day with Bob Fesco. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that show this morning. As they walked back through the years with Kling and Fesco. That was good stuff, man.
I didn't get a chance to check it out, but I'll have to.
Oh, listen to the podcast. Yeah, it's great.
Have to check out the podcast.
I'll miss Kling, man. Kling was awesome, man. First day, I'm the oldest dude now, so that kind of sucks. But other than that, Kling was great, man. He was always he's the nicest guy ever, most professional guy you'll ever meet in this industry. But I'll miss you, man. Kling was the best, man. Kling was the best. Now it's off to breweries for Kling. He was at a ways away last Friday, and I can't wait for that. But anyway, Matty Q was talking about the thrill of watching all three Royals at one time.
Well, I mean, I think of it as our guys. You know, they're not my guys. I think of it as our city, our town, our team, most things, the fans. You know, I said this the other day on one of the pregame shows, but it's been incredible on the road to see how many Royals fans are everywhere. Boston, Colorado, St. Louis, like it's been really remarkable to see, you know. And it's my first time, you know, being part of the team winning, and it's really cool to see. But I know that that's what it felt like for me. I was a fan last night, you know. I was a fan of the Royals, and to have those guys contribute to a win in the American League, get the W was really special.
Yeah, I mean, All-Star game is always kind of fun, but it is an exhibition game. But damn, it's cool seeing Bobby Witt Jr. in there with Cole Reagans throwing the Salvador Perez. You got Salvador Perez, you know, the old guard that's been, you know, up through two different times at the Royals. You got Bobby Witt coming out of the draft. You got Cole Reagan that was flipped for what was a great free agent pickup last year in Aroldis Chapman that flipped into Cole Reagans. Then, of course, you follow that up with this year's free agent in Seth Lugo. It's kind of the Royals in a nutshell for 2024 and J.J. Piccolo.
It's cool to see. I mean, I had the moment when they're playing doing the home run derby, you're watching Bobby Witt. You're like, how many times do the Royals get like a real national stage like this? It is cool to see guys that you root for day in, day out do stuff like that.
It's fun. And we saw the Royals, you know, in 14 and 15, you know, when they really got the national stage. You know, I'll never forget doing the show out there at GD. Henry Lake and I were sitting up there doing the day shift there. And all of a sudden you saw like the ESPN people. There's Linda Cohn walking by, you know. It's like they got to cover the Royals now, because there's always this, you know, conception, you know, that people get pissed when they got like 20 seconds on MLB Network, right? The highlights. People take that stuff seriously, man. Like they take slights in this town. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, if they lose, I would always hate to watch like Chris Berman back. But talking football and all that stuff, I would hate to watch the highlights when they lose. I do it anyway because I rewatch every single game anyway. But it's one of those things, and they're right. But now they forced America to watch the Kansas City Royals because MLB Network was out there and everything, and the Royals were in the spotlight. Can they be in the spotlight again? Matty Q talks about all the Royals fans, and there is a ton of Royals fans. There was a bunch in that Colorado Rockies series in Denver. There was a lot of Royals fans out there. Now, we know Chiefs Kingdom's everywhere. Are they just celebrating Kansas City? It's just grab the Kansas City gear and put it on. We'll see what goes on. These Chiefs fans wearing Royals stuff. I don't know, but things are pretty good here right now in Kansas City.
I mean, they've got two banner athletes. They've got tier one guys in both sports, which
you have MVP caliber players in football and baseball in our town. And you got a baseball day. Hey, this is a stretch run right here. And the good news is there's 65 games left. Nine of them. Where they're 31-18 at home, nine straight at Kauffman Stadium. And you start off with the White Sox. The gimmies. I mean, you got to win two out of three against them. You know what? I don't call for sweeps, but you sweep the damn team. You get that momentum, and you sweep it. The rumor today is the Royals interested in Tommy Pham, by the way, that could gain some steam there. He can play all three outfield positions. But it's Chicago for three, Arizona for three, the Cubs for three. The interesting thing about the Cubs is that's right there at the trade deadline. They finished playing them the 26th, and, of course, the trade deadline is the 30th. Then it's the White Sox again. And keep in mind, Cleveland like starts off against the Padres. They play good teams. They play Detroit. They lost three or four games to recently. Like Cleveland, they're not playing as quite as dominant as they were early on. You know, and they got Baltimore series coming up, too. I mean, it's much different. Can the Royals, you know, these nine games will tell, man. There's a good chance to make up some games in this nine-day stretch for the Royals.
I mean, all the games count the same, obviously, at the end of the day. But you do want to come out of the little break. You maybe weren't playing your best baseball before the All-Star break, but now you want to come out and really prove it wrong. You're playing some not-so-great teams.
But playing at home is so big for this team because they're so much better at home. Than they're six games under 500 on the road. They're 21-27. Of course, saw them lose 2 of 3 in Oakland, lost 2 of 3 in Colorado. But they have 9 at home. It's perfect for this team.
I mean, you can slingshot yourself out of the All-Star break and really kind of start taking some looks and some cracks at the central standing still.
But that was fun last night. Those uniforms were terrible. Those sucked. Matter of fact, there's been a couple things about this All-Star game that suck. First of all, that national anthem the other day for the Home Run Derby, terrible. Then those uniforms are terrible. They've talked about going back to where the players wear their own uniforms at the All-Star game, which they should do. Because I know it's all about merchandising and sales. Well, they'll still buy the hats.
Well, and can't you change the jerseys up a little bit? Can't you add patches and stuff and still sell
them? Yeah, you can add the All-Star patches, let them wear that the rest of the year if they made the All-Star game. You know, so I don't know, man. I don't know. We got that. We got football. There's a whole lot of football coming up here, of course, on the show tonight as the Chiefs are in rookie camp right now before the veterans show up here this weekend. Get the first practice there on Sunday. You'll have padded practices midweek next week, so that'll be fun as well. I always like pad day, man, even though they don't hit nearly as much as they used to. Back during the two-a-days when it was pads for both two-a-days, the Oklahoma drill. Marty used to run a man. Marty would hit. And you can't do that anymore. I get it. You don't want to get guys hurt. And it's more of a mental game now, the NFL, than the college game in high school where you hit all the time.
You just want to hear the crack of the pads.
Like, we hit all the time. Like, in high school, even in high school, we hit all the time. It was all about physicality. But Xavier Worthy's out there practicing. Matter of fact, speaking of Xavier Worthy, we'll hear from him next. Gives an update on his injury, what he's doing in. Remember, Mahomes is like, there's no easing. There's no easing Xavier Worthy. And I'm excited to see him play. I mean, keep in mind, this was the grand showcase. This was the first-round pick. They didn't grab a receiver in the second round, third round, or anywhere else in the draft. It was all about him. And remember Mahomes yesterday talking about Worthy.
I mean, there's no easing. Like, he's going to have to be ready to go. We got a lot of competition on this offense. Brett Veach and Coach Reed did a great job bringing a lot of competition in. And Xavier, I mean, he got a lot of mental work in these last few weeks that he had during OTAs and minicamp, but it's time to go now. And I mean, y'all saw it with Rasheed last year and some of the throwing up days he had. I mean, we're gonna push you to the limit and prepare yourself to be ready to go for the season. And that's not just him, that's everybody. And everybody has to have that mentality when they come into camp.
That's right. It's go time now, man. This is camp, no training wheels. You get selected by the Chiefs, it's time to show up and play. And you got a two-time NFL MVP, three-time Super Bowl MVP throwing you the football. Yeah, it's time to step up.
And especially when Mahomes comes out and says, hey, yeah, the end of the season was great winning the Super Bowl, but we didn't play the way that we want to play.
We didn't play the way we wanted to play. We wanted to get better. He's always
Seems
wanted to
like
get
he's
better.
Pretty fired up.
I love that attitude. And when you have that guy on the field and he commands that much respect, it's go time, man. You're expected, Xavier Worthy. You're counted on. There was no big free agent pickup besides Hollywood Brown. I mean, they decided that it's that and you. Because we don't know what's going to happen to Rashee Rice. Maybe nothing at all this year. Who knows what's going to happen with that situation. But they're expecting Xavier Worthy to be good. Xavier Worthy did speak today at training camp. He'll give an update on his injury, how he's acclimating to the first practice, and we'll hear from him next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley. Grant Nicholson, After Hours. Grant, you played the new college football game yet? How many national titles have you racked up for K-State yet?
I haven't played it. I don't have a console. I don't have a PlayStation or an Xbox yet.
Your generation?
I have a gaming PC, but I don't have a console anymore.
Wow.
I upgraded.
They should kick you out of your young generation. Kick you right out.
I'll probably get it eventually. I'll probably play it eventually. I just don't have it right now.
Well, you're growing up, Grant. You're growing up. You got season tickets to the Cats again, I assume, right?
I do. Yeah, I'll be there.
This is your second year as a season ticket holder?
This will be my third year.
Oh, third year.
Yeah.
So you can count those. You know, you're 10 years in, 20 years in. You say I'm a 20-year season ticket holder.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Or will they start out pricing you when they start making the playoffs?
Well, I mean, my tickets went up this year for sure.
How much did it go up?
Couple hundred bucks.
Really?
Not terrible, but it's probably 100 more each a ticket for sure.
You got a parking pass out there too?
No. Parking passes are expensive, especially if you get in the lot.
You bet on game day, you're split with your buddies or something?
Yeah, or there's workarounds for someone who's knows the area.
You take a helicopter?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes.
Are you balling now? What happened to that? What the hell happened? Did you bring any food for me tonight? You always do.
I didn't bring food for myself.
Oh. I was counting on it, Grant. You always do. And I'm kidding. I miss those Sundays, though, man. We had fun on those Sundays. We had fun on those Sunday shows. That was for sure. 100% we had fun. 816 said, should wear own team jerseys. It's enough fans really buying the All-Star Game jerseys to make it worthwhile. Nah, I don't think they're buying them. I'd stick and just buy a regular jersey. Just buy a non-All-Star. Buy a Vinny jersey. Buy a Massey jersey. Buy a Kyle Isbell jersey. Buy a Mikel Garcia jersey. Just buy a jersey. Buy Bobby Witt for sure. I mean, it's the one you want. If you get any jersey right now, which one would you get? Bobby?
I was thinking about this. I'd probably get Bobby, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he's just like the star. I only have one Royals jersey. It's a Yordano Ventura jersey.
Nice.
One would have to be a good one.
You know, I had one Chiefs jersey growing up because I've never been big jersey guy. It was Derek Thomas. And then... Now I'm done. It's like once Derek Thomas, you know, passed away, it's like I'm done.
Do your jersey number rules, does that apply to baseball as well, or is that just a football thing? Because Bobby Witt, was he 7?
Yeah, it's tough, man. But a lot of the even bigger players will wear, you know, single digits. So, no, it's more for football. With the, do you agree with my jersey rules?
I think they're fine. I don't know if they're 100% the perfect rules, but I think they're good rules.
Somebody 300 pounds, 350 pounds has no business wearing a Mahomes jersey. That 1 in 5 doesn't need to be split out.
The problem is they changed all the jersey rules.
I know.
So now you got linemen wearing like one number and stuff. It's messed up.
It's okay, but fans shouldn't be doing that. Fans shouldn't be doing it. Like, I shouldn't be wearing an Xavier Worthy jersey.
Why not, dude? Who cares?
I shouldn't be wearing an Xavier Worthy jersey. Come on. Okay, but you could get away with it.
Maybe.
Oh, 100% you could. Do you have any Chiefs jerseys?
I don't have a single one.
Really?
No, I don't.
You need to get in the jersey game, man.
I do, but when I don't wear jerseys. I wear like one jersey a year.
913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. What jerseys do you own? You know what? I actually have a couple hockey jerseys. Like, I do have a couple hockeys.
I have a hockey jersey, yeah.
Got a Blues. I have. I did have a Preds, but I gave it to the Cody and Gold garage sale a couple years ago. I've got a Blackhawks one, but it's it says Griswold on the back. It's like what he wore in Christmas Vacation. So I cracked that bad boy out during the holidays, you know. Drink from my Moose mugs. Wearing the old Griswold shirt. Just getting in the spirit. From a text line. 702. Grant is grown up. Wow. Is your dad and mom? No, that's not your dad and mom, 702.
No, it's not 702. I don't know. That's a person who just has a PC and knows what's up in the gaming world.
Well, we'll see. I'm playing that tournament next week, so we'll see what happens.
Are you playing?
Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm playing that game.
Do you have the game? Are you playing it?
I don't right now, but...
You got to get your hands on it. Got to try it out.
Thousands of hours of college football on there.
Yeah, I was on with Drew last week. He was talking smack. He thinks he's got a good shot to win.
Drew's talked a big game. Carrington, even though Aaron Ladd beat him twice last night or the night before.
I think Carrington could lose 100 games in a row. He's still going to be talking a big game.
I was going to, I was trying to convince Kling to get in it anyway and play with Iowa and just win games like 3-0.
Try to get a couple safeties in there.
Yeah, get a couple safeties in there and just play some defense. I do like the running game. I do like the running game. So
that's the way to do it. I've always been lame too. I just like to run. Give me a good running back, good offensive line.
K-State, man. Avery Johnson. His speed's not where it should be in this game, though. Because I was looking at the speed ratings. Yeah, I was like, the dude's every time the guy touches the football, it's lightning, man.
The thing is, you got to run the triple option almost. Avery Johnson, DJ Giddens, Dylan Edwards.
Oh. Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch on the ground.
Just get them going all sorts of directions.
They're going to be fun to watch on the ground. Well, Xavier Worthy did not miss a game at the University of Texas. Spoke today at training camp. Here's what he had to say about his updates on his injury and how he feels at camp.
How are you feeling? How's the injury? How's everything going for you?
It's feeling good. Working my way back in today. It felt good just to be back out here with the guys and just being able to play football again.
Put back on that first catch. Maybe you jammed a finger or something.
Yeah, just a little finger jab. I'm all right.
Was that a little frustrating for you finally getting out there with the pad, kind of pads on, and having that happen early?
Nah, I mean, it's part of football. I know what I signed up for, so it's just good just to be able to fight through it and have the adversity to fight through it.
How comfortable did you feel with the play calls and running the routes and all that?
I felt pretty good. As my time off, and even when I was off during OTAs, I took the time to really learn and into the playbook to so ask the questions I needed to ask, stay by the offensive coordinator and Coach Nagy, and I feel like that really helped me.
You got the big rap out the light.
It's getting better. As I go, it's going to continue getting better. So I just want to be able to be out there with the guys and keep working.
So Reed is known for having a stressful training camp, a challenging training camp. Did anybody prepare you for that, or how did you prepare yourself for this?
It's like a college training camp. I mean, I feel like there's no better way to train for a training camp like coming out of college. So, I mean, as you said, like, it's a tough training camp. So, I mean, just got to prepare for it either way.
Coach Reed talked yesterday about how not frustrated you were, but how you were ready to get out on the field. How important is it to you as the number one pick to be out there and, I don't want to say prove yourself, but to show what you can do?
It's very important to me. Me in college, I never missed a game, never had no injuries, really. So just having that happen, I mean, like I said, it's kind of frustrating, but I got a chance to learn and get better in a different way, learning the playbook. So, I mean, it was good in both ways for me.
What in particular did you do while you were out OTAs just to make sure as much as you could, you didn't really miss anything?
Like I said, the playbook, I feel like that's like the big struggle for all rookies is learning the playbook, learning the system. So I feel like just in tuning to that for me was really like the big thing, and rehabbing, of course, just to get back and be able to be out here and run.
For a rookie game, you had a big play today against Nazi Johnson. Just what did you see on that, and how good did that feel to get in?
It was good. I mean, there's a lot of things I have to work on that, staying tied to the DB, but, I mean, it's a good start.
Patrick said yesterday, actually, that there's no time to ease you into camp. Do you feel like the same way? You got to get go full goal?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's no time to ease in. I mean, it's all go. I mean, once you're here, you're here. So I understand definitely with Pat's hand and just to build that connection with him, I mean, it's going to be key here.
What are your expectations for yourself, just your rookie year?
I feel like just be the best me, be the best version of myself. I feel like if I do that, I feel like I'd be in a good spot.
So what does that mean, best version of yourself? What kind of player is that?
Make the plays I need to make. Every ball that comes to me, catch it. Make a big play after that, just being myself.
Xavier, are you learning every wide receiver spot, or do you feel like you're focusing on something specific right now?
I'm learning every spot.
And then when you say learning the playbook, like what is your study habit process? Like how do you try and...
As I go, I learn the formations first, key spots lining up, then I go learn the plays and learn the systems, then I learn everything else after that. I start with the zebra position, then the Z to X, so like I learn everything in the playbook.
What process you do by yourself, or do you have teammates that...
I do it by myself.
What did Patrick share with you today? What was his messages back and forth with you?
It wasn't nothing, just keep going, keep making plays, keep working, that's all it was.
We saw since y'all broke, for these few weeks before training camp, you got engaged, I know with the hamstring you probably did, but did you train much with the hamstring?
I was getting some training in, getting some running in, obviously just to stay in some kind of shape with the hamstring, so I got some kind of work out here.
And then with your fiance, being a track athlete, just how excited y'all to watch the Olympics?
Man, it's big, but I mean, it kind of sucks. She had the ACL. Coming up, she got surgery in March and then able to run to the Olympics or Olympic trials, which is crazy. But I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, she made history running with a torn ACL, so I mean, it's big.
Do you feel like you're a full go? I mean, you got the big rap on. Do you feel like this is you're 100% or as good as you can be right now?
I'm as good as I could be right now. Obviously, still working my way back into things, but I'm here. I'm ready to work.
If there was a football game this week, you'd play in football game.
Yes, sir.
What's the dorm like?
It reminds me of college. I mean, shoot, I just came out of college, so good thing it's not I'm not like a vet. I come here to come to the doors, but I mean, it's kind of like college to me.
Xavier,
NCAA? 25?
Yeah, I brought the game like Pat. So, yeah, I've been playing with Texas. You know what I'm saying? They actually nice on there. I mess with it. They're nice.
Whether it was high school or college, what have you done to be able to get on the same page with your quarterbacks over time?
Just communicate with them. What do they see? What do I see? What do they want to see on this route and how they want me to run it? Just little things like that, little details.
We saw you during the OTAs. You spent a lot of time talking to Matt Nagy. It looked like we'll watch him practice. What were some of the things that you guys talked about?
Just understanding the plays and why it's ran and how he wants to run the alignments. Just understanding all the bits and pieces about the playbook so I could come in and just not miss a beat. Like you said, it's a different thing running the plays, but I feel like it's harder to learn the mental part. So when you learn the mental part outside of the game, I feel like it's much more easier just to come in and do it.
There you go, Chiefs first-round pick Xavier Worthy from St. Joe. Rookie training camp has begun. I'll react to Xavier Worthy. Keep in mind, Chiefs are one of eight teams in the NFL that still go away for training camp. I think it's good. They're going to be playing some college football 25. That's always good. React to Xavier Worthy next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, welcome back. Jim Inkley, Grant Nicholson, After Hours. Text line's filling up with these jerseys. Someone says they have a Jackie Moon jersey from Semi-Pro. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to have it. I got a personal text from my man Greco that my rules don't apply. Because as a kid, he wore Neil Smith. Kids don't count, man. They don't count. But if you're an adult and you're like a buck 20, you shouldn't be wearing a Chris Jones. You shouldn't be wearing a Tooney. You shouldn't be wearing a Creed Humphrey. But you have no business wearing Xavier Worthy, a number one jersey, if, you know, you didn't put the biscuits away. You know what I mean? Don't spread it out. Don't spread it out. But, man, it's good hearing from Xavier Worthy. I hope he's a full go. He's not quite 100%, I think, but he said if there was a game, he'd play.
Yeah, hamstrings are always kind of scary, but
they are. I mean, hamstrings sometimes last 6 months, 7 months, or whatever, unless you get the right treatments. What Christian Watson has been dealing with in Green Bay.
But he is a lot more durable than I thought he was at Texas.
He was. So he played a lot tougher than Christian Watson, you know, for Green Bay's been missing games. He went to what, some health special to the University of Wisconsin because of his hamstring issue.
Just get out
but
there.
They're going to count on him, though. I mean, you don't want to draft a guy in the first round and he didn't get a chance to play. That's why it's the most important hamstring going right now.
Yeah, and I think just the most important part is just end up being productive. You don't have to go out there and be a number one wide receiver right away, but to see some sort of productiveness early from Xavier Worthy would be huge.
Yeah, you're going to use him in the return game, spread out the defense. It's a big part of why people think the Chiefs are going to go down the field a lot more is having Xavier Worthy out there. But, you know, I like what he said. It is go time. Remember Patrick Mahomes said, hey, when you get here, it is go time, man. Yeah, there's a lot of time, you know, when you're down time to go out and play the video games, whatever. But when you're on the field, it's about performing. And I love hearing that attitude from the Chiefs because I always respected that from the Steelers. You know, even the Pats during their dynasty. Like, if you get drafted by them, they expect you to perform. Like, they expect you to play. You know, we saw the Royals, you know, kind of go through that too in 13 and 14 and 15. If somebody got called up, it wasn't like the, you know, 06 Royals, 07, 08, where, yeah, you can struggle or whatever, but it's good just getting some major league time. No, they expect you to perform. When you got called up, you had to play.
Well, hearing from Pat, it doesn't seem like he's in the business of giving up chances at rings. So if you're going to be on this team, you got to show up and you got to be ready to perform at a high level.
Yeah, this team's going for a three-peat. There's no, I mean, everything's pretty much,
they seem,
you know, set
in
with this team. Yeah, they are locked in. It's step-up time for guys like Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, who's going to seize that role from Legarius Sneed now that he's gone. I love the way this defense is making up. But, again, there's relatively few camp battles. Kingsley Suamatia, Wanye Morris battling at left tackle. We'll hear from Ken Kingsley just a little bit later, but a lot's going to be expected on him. To me, he's going to have more playing time or snaps than any other rookie, only because I feel like he's going to start. Now, if he doesn't, you know, Jaden Hicks going to be in the rotation. We'll hear from him later. As well, he'll be in the rotation. Jared Wiley certainly going to be in the rotation. He'll be the third tight end, so he'll get snaps. But it's like Noah Gray a couple years ago. Hopefully you get the production from Noah Gray like last year coming out from Jared Wiley. but I wouldn't expect a ton from the rookie class as far as snap counts. They'll be in rotations, but Kingsley a definite chance to start.
Well, that's in an ideal world. You don't want all your rookies to be getting tons of playtime anyways, because that means you're probably in some sort of a rebuild situation. But for all of them to seem like they're going to be involved, even if they're not the number one guy, I think that's really good for their development.
From the 573, Jay, you got to go check out the throwback jersey Adidas and Sporting releases yesterday. Someone else from 913 have a home red Derek Johnson and a white throwback Lynn Dawson. So you can still rock the Dawson, man. You can still rock a Bobby Bell. You can still rock stuff like that. Like the Sean LaChapelle's and stuff like that. You got to get rid of that stuff. Priest, no.
Even Priest Holmes is off limits? It's too big?
I would stay away at this point.
31's kind of wide.
I'd wait like 10 years for it, but the vintage Chiefs stuff.
Priest Holmes last played in like 06. It's like 20 years old.
I know, but it's still like, you've seen him, man. They're like worn jerseys from when he actually played here. They're like, half the numbers falling off and everything else. No, if it's like a clean new one or something, it's like, you know, throwback. But, you know, I'd wear a Bobby Bell. That guy in the history of football is one of the top ever. Finished third in the Heisman, playing defense, won a national title at Minnesota in college football, won an NFL ring, all-decade team. I mean, that dude, I'd rock that jersey. Made great barbecue. I'd rock the Bobby Bell for sure.
Have you seen the Sporting throwback jerseys, though, that they just released today or yesterday? I think it's yesterday.
Are they the Wizards?
Yeah, so there's a Wizards kind of era that they're going with. It doesn't say Wizards on it, but it's got, like, Kansas City, and it looks really cool.
Is that what they wore then, too?
So, no, it's not the jersey they wore. It's not like a throwback, but it's kind of like based on that design.
I think it's even cool getting like the hats, like Kansas City Scouts or something from the hockey team or the Kings. Sure. I used to go to the Kings game. I'm kind of dating myself here, but I used to go to the Kings games at Kemp Arena.
That would have been cool.
But I'm not going to go rocking a basketball jersey. You want to talk about off limits?
Basketball jerseys in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just not into that. The other ones, wear a hat. Got Atlanta Hawks. I wear a hat, but not. I'm not going to wear the jersey. But anyway, Xavier Worthy right there talking. It was, hey, I can't wait. I want to see some production from him. I want to see some total production from Xavier Worthy going down the stretch because he's going to be counted on, man. He's going to be important. Coming up next, Matty Q was on with Fesco in the morning. He had some interesting things to say. Also, can Seth Lugo get to 200 innings? Because last year was only five guys doing it. He's already got 127 now. I think they might have a 200-inning pitcher.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Can Seth Lugo get to 200 innings? I think he can. He is 127 right now. That's second in Major League Baseball. 132 and a third leads the way. Logan Gilbert and Logan Webb behind him. But Seth Lugo already 127. He had 146 all of last year, and that was in 26 starts. He's got 19 starts this year, so it's going to be fun to see what Seth Lugo can do the rest of the year. I'm excited. Hey, tomorrow's go time, man. You get 9 games at home. Let's go. Or not, I keep saying tomorrow. I mean Friday. I keep thinking today's Thursday. Slap me, man.
I mean, there's no sports. Time moves a lot slower.
It feels like Thursday. I don't know why. Obviously, it's not. But it feels like it, right? Wednesday and Thursday of All-Star Week. It's kind of weird. The ESPYs, I used to play those during the All-Star Week. I don't watch it anyway. I mean, it's a terrible show, but they usually played it during the All-Star Week because there's nothing going on.
I think the ESPYs was like a week or two ago, too.
It was like last week, something like that, I think. It was on, and I didn't even know it was on. I had to be reminded. I was like, oh, you kidding me? It's on tonight? I didn't even know. I don't like award shows, though. Matty Q was on with Fesco in the morning, as he is each and every Wednesday at 9 a.m., and played it earlier, his excitement to start was seeing his guys in the All-Star game. But what about starting off the excitement of the second half of the season, which starts on Friday, not tomorrow?
Of course, yeah. I mean, we got 9 games coming out of the break at home. And we love playing at home, and hopefully we put our best foot forward. But, yeah, I mean, it's summertime. It's the pennant chase. It's all those things that you live for in this. You want the you want these things to happen for your team. You want your guys to experience it, and you want your city to experience it. So, yeah, we're in a good spot. You know, we know we're not in the catbird seat by any means right now, but it's a pennant race, and all kinds of things happen, and you gotta live with the ups and downs of it. But that's the fun part.
Here's Matty Q on his message for the Royals the second half of the season.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason we got some of the guys, because a lot of them have been through it. The Walkas, Renfros, Frazier's, those guys have all been through this. Will Smith, Chris Stratton. And the message, you know, whether it was, is this Thursday or last week or 2 months ago, it's you got to take this one day at a time. You know, there's only one game on every given day, and that's the only one that you can try to win that day. And that's what the message is, because if you lose, you don't fold up your tents and say, oh, we're having a bad weekend or whatever. You got to keep pushing. And I've been part of teams in the past going into the All-Star break right around 500. People are disappointed. And then you go on these long winning streaks, and all of a sudden you look up and you're in first place, or you look up and you're in a wild card spot. Like, you can't think too far ahead. You think one day at a time, and you just put together good baseball.
It's tough not to look at those standings in mid-July, you know what I mean? Especially in the front office. Like, do we make a deal or not? Are we in the wild card chase or not? And I love having the third wild card, because it makes it tough on the organizations, though. Are we going to throw in the towel, or do we actually think we're going to make it? You know what I mean? It's tough for them.
Yeah, it makes it tough, but that's their job.
And it's fun for fans.
I mean, the Royals haven't been in the playoffs since they won the World Series. Like, just being able to schedule watch and standings watch at this point in the season is great.
I sold myself to the devil in 2015 when I said, just win the title and I'll take 10 years of mediocrity.
You cursed us all.
But you know what, though? I mean, I'd rather have the banner. I know some people want competitive baseball and get into the World Series. You don't want 100 losses, but the banner flies forever, man. It's go time for this group again, but I can't wait for the second half. It's 65 games, all you have left. First nine at home. I mean, it is time to get a great start. Right off the bat. What about Salvador Perez making his ninth All-Star game? And talking about him kind of being the leader of the way, he is the captain. He's the captain. He's the leader of this team. But he's seen two different groups go for Hosmer, Moose, those guys coming up. And, of course, Bobby Witt Jr., Massey, and Vinny, and all the young guys on this team.
Oh, there's no question. And Salvi is the ultimate teammate, selfless in every regard. You know, loves the city, loves the people, loves the organization. He's done everything he can to make us relevant and do, you know, win on the field and win off the field, frankly. But, you know, the landscape of pro sports is littered like that. You've always heard, you know, Jordan pushed his team the hardest, or Tim Duncan and David Robinson pushed their team. Tom Brady pushed their team. You know, those are the best players on the team. And Salvi's been one of the best players on this team for over a decade. And for him to be, you know, enjoying other people's successes, that's what a great teammate does.
He transcends generations. I know James, the younger guy, he produces, you know, he was asking me who I thought the greatest Royal ever was, you know, was George Brett, Salvi, who was it? My generation, it's George Brett. It always will be at that point, because you don't have to see somebody play to recognize their greatness and how good they were if you didn't see them play the sport. But, you know, the younger, they're hooked on the Salvi. That's okay. I mean, if that's your guy, but to me, it's still George Brett.
Yeah, I mean, but the younger generation should be hooked on Salvi.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. He's a great player. I mean, he's going to go down the Royals Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the National Hall of Fame. He's guys, one of the best we've ever seen.
I mean, George Brett is probably still number one. I mean, just because of all that he's accomplished. But Salvi's number two.
And the one thing about Salvador Perez is, you know, that really helps that argument is he's won a ring. And I know that, you can't always go by the ring talk. Yeah, you can. It does mean something. And he was the World Series MVP. That's pretty big, too. And he's won gold gloves. And he's a nine-time All-Star. And he's been on the All-MLB team. Silver Slugger, you name it, he's won it. He's done everything in this game. By the way, from the 573, they said Sporting is wearing their new jerseys tonight. Dan in KCK says, when he was at work today, he saw a man with a Kansas City Kings shirt on. There you go. That's some vintage throwback, man. You're rocking the Kings gear. Would you rock the Kings gear, Grant?
Yeah, of course. Of course I would. Why wouldn't I?
What about Kansas City Scout stuff?
Sure, yeah. I like the Scout stuff. It's a cool logo.
What about Mavericks? You wear any Mavericks?
I don't have any Mavericks, no. I would, though, I suppose.
You got to think about the success in this town. Like, if the Royals make the playoffs, the Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions, The Mavericks made the Kelly Cup Finals. Casey Kurentz got, what, one loss?
Yeah, they're right at the top of the standings.
There is a lot of winning in this town. All the local schools are going to be as probably your whole lifetime, with all three schools being as good as we think they're going to be this year, the local football teams. Yeah, when Missouri and Kansas were going at it, remember that was when Snyder had stepped away? So Kansas State, you know, wasn't quite the team they were before and then after, but this might be the best that we've seen the local schools, all three being good at the same time.
I mean, all the local schools are like, all the fan bases are kind of expecting 8 wins minimum at this point.
Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson, After Hours. Text line's filling up with these jerseys. Someone says they have a Jackie Moon jersey from Semi-Pro. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to have it. I got a personal text from my man Greco that my rules don't apply. Because as a kid, he wore Neil Smith. The kids don't count, man. They don't count. But if you're an adult and you're like a buck 20, you shouldn't be wearing a Chris Jones. You shouldn't be wearing a Tooney. You shouldn't be wearing a Creed Humphrey. But you have no business wearing Xavier Worthy, a number one jersey, if, you know, you didn't put the biscuits away. You know what I mean? Don't spread it out. Don't spread it out. But, man, it's good hearing from Xavier Worthy. I hope he's a full go. He's not quite 100%, I think, but he said if there was a game, he'd play.
Yeah, hamstrings are always kind of scary, but
they are. Hamstrings sometimes last 6 months, 7 months, or whatever, unless you get the right treatment. It's what Christian Watson has been dealing with in Green Bay.
But he is a lot more durable than I thought he was at Texas.
He was. So he played a lot tougher than Christian Watson, you know, for Green Bay's been missing games. He went to, what, some health special to the University of Wisconsin because of his hamstring issue.
Just get out there.
But they're going to count on him, though. I mean, you don't want to draft a guy in the first round and he didn't get a chance to play. That's why, it's the most important hamstring going right now.
Yeah, and I think just the most important part is just end up being productive. You don't have to go out there and be a number one wide receiver right away, but to see some sort of productiveness early from Xavier Worthy would be huge.
Yeah, you're going to use him in the return game, spread out the defense. It's a big part of why people think the Chiefs are going to go down the field a lot more is having Xavier Worthy out there. But, you know, I like what he said. It is go time. Remember Patrick said, hey, when you get here, it is go time, man. Yeah, there's a lot of time, you know, when you're down time to go out and play the video games, whatever. But when you're on the field, it's about performing. And I love hearing that attitude from the Chiefs because I always respected that from the Steelers. You know, even the Pats during their dynasty, like if you get drafted by them, they expect you to perform. Like they expect you to play. You know, we saw the Royals, you know, kind of go through that too in 13 and 14 and 15. If somebody got called up, it wasn't like the, you know, 06 Royals, 07, 08, where, yeah, you can struggle or whatever, but it's good just getting some major league time. No, they expect you to perform. When you got called up, you had to play.
Well, hearing from Pat, it doesn't seem like he's in the business of giving up chances at rings. So if you're going to be on this team, you got to show up and you got to be ready to perform at a high level.
Yeah, this team's going for a three-peat. There's no, I mean, everything's pretty much,
they seem,
you know,
locked set in
with this team. Yeah, they are locked in. It's step-up time for guys like Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, who's going to seize that role from Legarius Sneed now that he's gone. I love the way this defense is making up. But, again, there's relatively few camp battles. Kingsley Suamatia, Wanye Morris battling at left tackle. We'll hear from Ken Kingsley just a little bit later, but lots are going to be expected on him. To me, he's going to have more playing time or snaps than any other rookie, only because I feel like he's going to start. Now, if he doesn't, you know, Jaden Hicks going to be in the rotation. We'll hear from him later as well. He'll be in the rotation. Jared Wiley certainly going to be in the rotation. He'll be the third tight end, so he'll get snaps, but it's like Noah Gray a couple years ago. Hopefully you get the production from Noah Gray like last year coming out from Jared Wiley, but I wouldn't expect a ton from the rookie class as far as snap counts. They'll be in rotations, but Kingsley a definite chance to start.
Well, that's in an ideal world. You don't want all your rookies to be getting tons of playtime anyways, because that means you're probably in some sort of a rebuild situation. But for all of them to seem like they're going to be involved, even if they're not the number one guy, I think that's really good for their development.
From the 573, Jay, you got to go check out the throwback jersey Adidas and Sporting releases yesterday. Someone else from 913 have a home red Derek Johnson and a white throwback Lynn Dawson. So you can still rock the Dawson, man. You can still rock a Bobby Bill. You can still rock stuff like that. Like the Sean LaChapelle's and stuff like that. You got to get rid of that stuff. Priest, no.
Even Priest Holmes is off limits? It's too big?
I would stay away at this point.
31's kind of wide.
I'd wait like 10 years for it, but the vintage Chiefs stuff,
Priest Holmes last played in like 06. It's like 20 years old.
I know, but it's still like, you've seen them, man. They're like worn jerseys from when he actually played here. They're like, half the numbers falling off and everything else. No, if it's like a clean new one or something, it's like, you know, throwback. But, you know, I'd wear a Bobby Bell. That guy in the history of football is one of the top ever. Finished third in the Heisman playing defense, won a national title at Minnesota in college football, won an NFL ring, all-decade team. I mean, that dude, I'd rock that jersey. Made great barbecue. I'd rock the Bobby Bill for sure.
Have you seen the Sporting throwback jerseys, though, that they just released today or yesterday? I think it's yesterday.
Are they the Wizards?
Yeah, so there's a Wizards kind of era that they're going with. It doesn't say Wizards on it, but it's got, like, Kansas City, and it looks really cool.
Is that what they wore then, too?
No, it's not the jersey they wore. It's not like a throwback, but it's kind of like based on that design.
I think it's even cool getting like the hats, like Kansas City Scouts or something from the hockey team or the Kings. Sure. I used to go to the Kings game. I'm kind of dating myself here, but I used to go to the Kings games at Kemp Arena.
That would have been cool.
But I'm not going to go rocking a basketball jersey. You want to talk about off limits?
Basketball jerseys in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just not into that. The other ones, wear a hat. Got Atlanta Hawks hat. I wear a hat, but not. I'm not going to wear the jersey. But anyway, Xavier Worthy right there talking. It was, hey, I can't wait. I want to see some production from him. I want to see some total production from Xavier Worthy going down the stretch because it's going to be counted on, man. He's going to be important. Coming up next, Matty Q was on with Fesco in the morning. He had some interesting things to say. Also, can Seth Lugo get to 200 innings? Because last year was only five guys doing it. He's already got 127 now. I think they might have a 200-inning pitcher.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Can Seth Lugo get to 200 innings? I think he can. He is 127 right now. That's second in Major League Baseball. 132 and a third leads the way. Logan Gilbert and Logan Webb behind him. But Seth Lugo already 127. He had 146 all of last year, and that was in 26 starts. He's got 19 starts this year, so it's going to be fun to see what Seth Lugo can do the rest of the year. I'm excited. Hey, tomorrow's go time, man. You get 9 games at home. Let's go. I keep saying tomorrow. I mean Friday. I keep thinking today's Thursday. Slap me, man.
I mean, there's no sports. Time moves a lot slower.
Hey, it feels like Thursday. I don't know why. Obviously, it's not. But it feels like it, right? Wednesday and Thursday of All-Star Week. It's kind of weird. The ESPYs, they used to play those during the All-Star Week. I don't watch it anyway. I mean, it's a terrible show, but they usually played it during the All-Star Week because there's nothing going on.
I think the ESPYs was like a week or two ago, too.
It was like last week, something like that, I think. But it was on, and I didn't even know it was on. I had to be reminded. I was like, oh, you kidding me? It's on tonight? I didn't even know. I don't like award shows, though. Matty Q was on with Fesco in the morning, as he is each and every Wednesday at 9 a.m., and played it earlier, his excitement to start was seeing his guys in the All-Star game. But what about starting off the excitement of the second half of the season, which starts on Friday, not tomorrow?
Of course, yeah. I mean, we got 9 games coming out of the break at home. And we love playing at home, and hopefully we put our best foot forward. But, yeah, I mean, it's summertime. It's the pennant chase. It's all those things that you live for in this. You want these things to happen for your team. You want your guys to experience it, and you want your city to experience it. So, yeah, we're in a good spot. You know, we know we're not in the catbird seat by any means right now, but it's a pennant race, and all kinds of things happen, and you gotta live with the ups and downs of it. But that's the fun part.
Here's Matty Q on his message for the Royals the second half of the season.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason we got some of the guys, because a lot of them have been through it. The Walkas, Renfro's, Frazier's, those guys have all been through this. Will Smith, Chris Stratton. And the message, you know, whether it was, is this Thursday or last week or 2 months ago, it's, you got to take this one day at a time. You know, there's only, there's only one game on every given day, and that's the only one that you can try to win that day. And that's what the message is, because if you lose, you don't fold up your tents and say, oh, we're having a bad weekend or whatever. You got to keep pushing. And I've been part of teams in the past going into the All-Star break right around 500. People are disappointed, and then you go on these long winning streaks, and all of a sudden you look up and you're in first place, or you look up and you're in a wild card spot. Like, you can't think too far ahead. You think one day at a time, and you just put together good baseball.
It's tough not to look at those standings in mid-July, you know what I mean? Especially the front office, like, do we make a deal or not? We in the wild card chase or not? And I love having the third wild card, because it makes it tough on the organizations, though. We're going to throw in the towel, or do we actually think we're going to make it? You know what I mean? It's tough for them.
Yeah, it makes it tough, but that's their job.
And it's fun for fans.
I mean, the Royals haven't been in the playoffs since they won the World Series. Like, just being able to schedule watch and standings watch at this point in the season is great.
I sold myself to the devil in 2015 when I said, just win the title and I'll take 10 years of mediocrity.
You cursed us all.
But you know what, though? I mean, I'd rather have the banner. I know some people want competitive baseball and get into the World Series. You don't want 100 losses, but the banner flies forever, man. It's go time for this group again, but I can't wait for the second half. It's 65 games, all you have left. First nine at home. I mean, that is time to get a great start right off the bat. What about Salvador Perez making his ninth All-Star game? And talking about him kind of being the leader of the way he is the captain. He's the captain. He's the leader of this team. But he's seen two different groups go for Hosmer, Moose, those guys coming up. And, of course, Bobby Witt Jr., Massey, and Vinny, and all the young guys on this team.
Oh, there's no question. And Salvi is the ultimate teammate, selfless in every regard. You know, loves the city, loves the people, loves the organization. He's done everything he can to make us relevant and do, you know, win on the field and win off the field, frankly. But, you know, the landscape of pro sports is littered like that. You've always heard, you know, Jordan pushed his team the hardest, or Tim Duncan and David Robinson pushed their team. Tom Brady pushed their team. You know, those are the best players on the team, and Salvi's been one of the best players on this team for over a decade. And for him to be, you know, enjoying other people's successes, that's what a great teammate does.
He transcends generations. I know James, a younger guy, he produces, you know, he was asking me who I thought the greatest Royal ever was, you know. It was George Brett, Salvi, who was it? My generation, it's George Brett. It always will be at that point, because you don't have to see somebody play to recognize their greatness and how good they were if you didn't see them play the sport. But, you know, the younger, they're hooked on the Salvi. That's okay. I mean, if that's your guy, but to me, it's still George Brett.
Yeah, I mean, but the younger generation should be hooked on Salvi.
Yeah, of course. He's a great player. I mean, he's going to go down the Royals Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the National Hall of Fame. He's guys, one of the best we've ever seen.
I mean, George Brett is probably still number one. I mean, just because of all that he's accomplished. But Salvi's number two.
And
close.
The one thing about Salvador Perez is, you know, that really helps that argument is he's won a ring. And I know that, you can't always go by the ring talk. Yeah. You can. It does mean something. And he was the World Series MVP. That's pretty big, too. And he's won gold gloves. And he's a 9-time All-Star. And he's been on the All-MLB team. Silver Slugger, you name it, he's won it. He's done everything in this game. By the way, from the 573, they said Sporting is wearing their new jerseys tonight. Dan in KCK says, when he was at work today, he saw a man with a Kansas City Kings shirt on. There you go. That's some vintage throwback, man. You're rocking the Kings gear? Would you rock the Kings gear, Grant?
Yeah, of course. Of course I would. Why wouldn't I?
What, Kansas City Scout stuff?
Sure, yeah. I like the Scout stuff. It's a cool logo.
What about Mavericks? You wear any Mavericks?
I don't have any Mavericks, no. I would, though, I suppose.
You got to think about the success in this town. Like, if the Royals make the playoffs, the Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions, the Mavericks made the Kelly Cup Finals, Casey Kurentz got, what, one loss?
He has it right at the top of the standings.
There is a lot of winning in this town. All the local schools are going to be probably your whole lifetime with all three schools being as good as we think they're going to be this year, the local football teams. Yeah, when Missouri and Kansas were going at it, remember that was when Snyder had stepped away? So Kansas State, you know, wasn't quite the team they were before and then after, but this might be the best that we've seen the local schools all three being good at the same time.
I mean, all the local schools are like – all the fan bases are kind of expecting 8 wins minimum. at this point.
Yeah, they're expecting playoffs, man.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of nuts.
I mean, I love the Tigers and their program where they're going. I'd like K-State to win the Big 12 this year. That would have been my vote for them to win because that's just what they do. And not, I respect what Lance Leipold's doing out of Kansas. They made the right choice. You know, like Klieman at Kansas State. You know what? He was a winner and has four national titles. So what? They weren't at FBS or FC. They were FCS level. So who cares? And Division III is where Leipold won his six. Doesn't matter. It still proves he could win. Still, you know, not a lot of sizzle, not a lot of flash, but you got substance.
I mean, yeah, a lot of their philosophy is just talent development. It's about getting talent in the house and then developing what you have. And I think that that really works at programs like K-State and KU.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. From the text line, you know what? Kansas City could really use a hockey team, like a professional hockey team. Yeah, we could. I would absolutely, positively love having a pro team, hockey team here in Kansas City. So I don't have to travel and go see anybody in the NHL because I love the NHL. But anyway, coming up next, Jalen Daniels, the quarterback of Kansas, discusses that injury. It was a great interview with Carrington Harrison. If you missed it, even Brian Haney, when he stepped in here and said, hey, man, it was a great interview, Carrington. Hope people are able to hear it. Well, I'm going to replay that because I thought it was so good. And in fairness, because yesterday was Missouri Day, so I played Eli Drinkwitz last night. I'll play Jalen Daniels for you. It's really good stuff from Carrington next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Can Seth Lugo get to 200 innings? I think he can. He is 127 right now. That's second in Major League Baseball. 132 and a third leads the way. Logan Gilbert and Logan Webb behind him. But Seth Lugo already 127. He had 146 all of last year, and that was in 26 starts. He's got 19 starts this year, so it's going to be fun to see what Seth Lugo can do the rest of the year. I'm excited. Hey, tomorrow's go time, man. You get 9 games at home. Let's go. Or no, not tomorrow. I keep saying tomorrow. I mean Friday. I keep thinking today's Thursday. Slap me, man.
I mean, there's no sports. Time moves a lot slower.
Hey, it feels like Thursday. I don't know why. Obviously, it's not. But it feels like it, right? Wednesday and Thursday of All-Star Week. It's kind of weird. The ESPYs, they used to play those during the All-Star Week. I don't watch it anyway. I mean, it's a terrible show, but they usually played it during the All-Star Week because there's nothing going on.
I think the ESPYs was like a week or two ago, too.
It was like last week, something like that, I think. It was on, and I didn't know it was on. I had to be reminded. I was like, oh, you kidding me? It's on tonight? I didn't even know. I don't like award shows, though. Matty Q was on with Fesco in the morning, as he is each and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And played it earlier. His excitement to start was seeing his guys in the All-Star game. But what about starting off the excitement of the second half of the season, which starts on Friday, not tomorrow?
Of course, yeah. I mean, we got 9 games coming out of the break at home. And we love playing at home, and hopefully we put our best foot forward. But, yeah, I mean, it's summertime. It's the pennant chase. It's all those things that you live for in this. You want these things to happen for your team. You want your guys to experience it, and you want your city to experience it. So, yeah, we're in a good spot. You know, we know we're not in the catbird seat by any means right now, but it's a pennant race, and all kinds of things happen, and you gotta live with the ups and downs of it. But that's the fun part.
Here's Matty Q on his message for the Royals the second half of the season.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason we got some of the guys, because a lot of them have been through it. The Wakas, Renfros, Frazier's, those guys have all been through this. Will Smith, Chris Stratton. And the message, you know, whether it was is this Thursday or last week or 2 months ago, it's you got to take this one day at a time. You know, there's only one game on every given day, and that's the only one that you can try to win that day. And that's what the message is, because if you lose, you don't fold up your tents and say, oh, we're having a bad weekend or whatever. You got to keep pushing. And I've been part of teams in the past going into the All-Star break right around 500. People are disappointed. And then you go on these long winning streaks, and all of a sudden you look up and you're in first place, or you look up and you're in a wild card spot. Like, you can't think too far ahead. You think one day at a time, and you just put together good baseball.
It's tough not to look at those standings in mid-July, you know what I mean? Especially in the front office. Like, do we make a deal or not? Are we in the wild card chase or not? And I love having the third wild card, because It makes it tough on the organizations, though. Are we going to throw in the towel, or do we actually think we're going to make it? You know what I mean? It's tough for them.
Yeah, it makes it tough, but that's their job.
And it's fun for fans.
I mean, the Royals haven't been in the playoffs since they won the World Series. Like, just being able to schedule watch and standings watch at this point in the season is great.
I sold myself to the devil in 2015 when just win the title and I'll take 10 years of mediocrity.
You cursed us all.
But you know what, though? I mean, I'd rather have the banner. I know some people want competitive baseball and get into the World Series. You don't want 100 losses, but the banner flies forever, man. It's go time for this group again, but I can't wait for the second half. It's 65 games, all you have left. First nine at home. I mean, it is time to get a great start right off the bat. What about Salvador Perez making his ninth All-Star game and talking about him kind of being the leader of the way he is the captain. He's the captain. He's the leader of this team. But he's seen two different groups go for Hosmer, Moose, those guys coming up. And, of course, Bobby Witt Jr., Massey, and Vinny, and all the young guys on this team.
Oh, there's no question. And Salvi is the ultimate teammate, selfless in every regard. You know, loves the city, loves the people, loves the organization. He's done everything he can to make us relevant and do, you know, win on the field and win off the field, frankly. But, you know, the landscape of pro sports is littered like that. You've always heard, you know, Jordan pushed his team the hardest, or Tim Duncan and David Robinson pushed their team. Tom Brady pushed their team. You know, those are the best players on the team, and Salvi's been one of the best players on this team for over a decade. And for him to be, you know, enjoying other people's successes, that's what a great teammate does.
He transcends generations. I know James, a younger guy, he produces, you know, he was asking me who I thought the greatest Royal ever was, you know, it was George Brett, Salvi, who was it? My generation, it's George Brett. It always will be at that point, because you don't have to see somebody play to recognize their greatness and how good they were if you didn't see them play the sport. But, you know, the younger, they're hooked on the Salvi. That's okay. I mean, if that's your guy, but to me, it's still George Brett.
Yeah, I mean, but the younger generation should be hooked on Salvi.
Yeah, you know? Of course. He's a great player. He's going to go down the Royals Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the National Hall of Fame. These guys, one of the best we've ever seen.
I mean, George Brett is probably still number one. I mean, just because of all that he's accomplished. But Salvi's number two.
And
he's close.
The one thing about Salvador Perez is, you know, that really helps that argument is he's won a ring. And I know that, you can't always go by the ring talk. Yeah. You can. It does mean something. And he was the World Series MVP. That's pretty big, too. And he's won gold gloves. And he's a 9-time All-Star. And he's been on the All-MLB team. Silver Slugger, you name it, he's won it. He's done everything in this game. By the way, from the 573, they said Sporting is wearing their new jerseys tonight. Dan in KCK says, when he was at work today, he saw a man with a Kansas City Kings shirt on. There you go. That's some vintage throwback, man. You're rocking the Kings gear? Would you rock the Kings gear, Grant?
Yeah, of course. Of course I would. Why wouldn't I?
What about Kansas City Scout stuff?
Sure, yeah. I like the Scout stuff. It's a cool logo.
What about Mavericks? You wear any Mavericks?
I don't have any Mavericks, no. I would, though, I suppose.
You got to think about the success in this town. Like, if the Royals make the playoffs, the Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions, the Mavericks made the Kelly Cup Finals, Casey Kurentz got, what, one loss?
Yeah, it's right at the top of the standings.
There is a lot of winning in this town. All the local schools are going to be probably your whole lifetime with all three schools being as good as we think they're going to be this year, the local football teams. Yeah, when Missouri and Kansas were going at it, remember that was when Snyder had stepped away? So Kansas State, you know, wasn't quite the team they were before and then after, but this might be the best that we've seen the local schools all three being good at the same time.
I mean, all the local schools are like – all the fan bases are kind of expecting 8 wins minimum at this point.
Yeah, they're expecting playoffs, man.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of nuts.
I mean, I love the Tigers and their program where they're going. I'd like K-State to win the Big 12 this year. That would have been my vote for them to win, because that's just what they do. And I respect what Lance Leipold's doing out of Kansas. They made the right choice. You know, like Klieman at Kansas State. You know what? He was a winner and has 4 national titles. So what? They weren't at FBS or they were FCS level. So who cares? And Division III is where Leipold won his 6. Doesn't matter. It still proves he could win. Still, and, you know, Not a lot of sizzle, not a lot of flash, but you got substance.
I mean, yeah, a lot of their philosophy is just talent development. It's about getting talent in the house and then developing what you have. And I think that that really works at programs like K-State and KU.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. From the text line, you know what? Kansas City could really use a hockey team, like a professional hockey team. Yeah, we could. I would absolutely, positively love having a pro team, hockey team here in Kansas City. So I don't have to travel and go see anybody in the NHL because I love the NHL. But anyway, coming up next, Jalen Daniels, the quarterback at Kansas, discusses that injury. It was a great interview with Carrington Harrison. If you missed it, even Brian Haney, when he stepped in here and said, hey, man, it was a great interview, Carrington. Hope people are able to hear it. Well, I'm going to replay that because I thought it was so good. And in fairness, because yesterday was Missouri Day, so I played Eli Drinkwitz last night. I'll play Jalen Daniels for you. It's really good stuff from Carrington next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.